Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashantalalayam. This is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to this week's Radio Sai Vedam Tutor. In today's class, we have a speciality. Swami has always stressed on the significance and importance of chanting the Sri Rudram, which includes the Namakam and the Chamakam, followed by the chanting of Purusha Suktam. Today, we are going to know the inner significance of this great mantra, the Purusha Suktam, as Swami had given it so much of importance. Today, we have with us Sri Maunish Vyas, giving us the significance of Purusha Suktam. This will be followed by his explanation on what exactly is our responsibility as Sai devotees who have been fortunate enough to have been initiated into the learning of Vedas by the Veda Purusha, our dear Swami. Over to Sri Maunish Vyas.
Purusha Suktam is cosmic. Those of you who have studied astronomy and cosmology will appreciate Purusha Suktam in its finer details. The word Purusha in ordinary language contains the meaning a puri with nine holes, or a puri which contains the essence. The word pur or pur also means purnam. The dhatu, it means full or fill, both. So that which fills up everything is the Purusha, or everything that which is full of is the Purusha. It has got 7 or 8 connotations. I am only giving you the gist, because then it becomes an exercise in grammatical didactics, which I am not an expert at. I am giving you just the gist. So whatever fills up the whole universe is the Purusha. Whatever fills up our body is the Purusha. That is the Puraha. And he that is expansive everywhere and available everywhere, that is the Purusha. The concept of Purusha Suktam is very fine, very advanced, and for a person who is not educated, I am talking of person like the cobbler or a rickshawala, you can explain to him Rudram very beautifully with all the beautiful meanings and imagery, but try to explain Purusha Suktam to a rickshawala, very difficult, because Virat Swarupa, Virat Swarupa means the entire universe, starting with Hiranyagarbha. Tasmaat virada jayata, from that came Virat. Virat is Hiranyagarbha. Then sajato atyarichyata, he exploded. So you cannot compare a cracker burst to the burst of the entire universe. To teach such concepts requires modern day knowledge of whatever astronomy and cosmology has given us, and that is why Purusha Suktam was difficult to understand even by the great Sayanacharya. Because you actually have to see the explosion of the Big Bang to able to appreciate Purusha Suktam. And Swami has once stated that Kanada Rishi actually saw the Big Bang happening in his inner vision. And he is the progenitor of the Vaisheshika system of Darshana. The Vaisheshika system, that each atom is contained of the divine essence. And all of us are contained of these atoms, and hence all of us are full of only this divine essence. This is the entire Vaisheshika system in one word. The whole universe is made up of anus. Anu is atom. Each anu is made up of the divine essence. Hence all of us are nothing but divine. In details then it is very big. Then you cannot explain it in 2 lines. So Kanada Rishi saw the Big Bang happening. Swami has stated it in a speech, and he could appreciate what is the Big Bang. So similarly, today, because of advances in cosmology and astronomy, we can actually see the vastness of the universe, and the Purusha Suktam states that the entire universe is nothing but 1/4 of what is the entire Purusha. Bhados yeha bhavat punaha. For example, Swami has said that when the Purusha Suktam was revealed, the population of the world was in thousands. On planet there were a few thousand people. That is why it is said sahasra shirsha purushaha sahasraksha sahasrapat. It means every single head on planet is God. Every single hand belonging to everyone is God. Every single heart belonging to everyone is God. Every single foot belonging to everyone is God. The Atharva Veda starts with sahasra bahu purushaha sahasraksha sahasrapat. You know that bhajan you have, Sainath tere hazaro hath, Sainath tere hazaro hath. Same Veda states, Sahasrabahu purushaha sahasraksha sahasrapat, Sabhumim sarvatos putva atyatishthad dashangulam. This is in the Atharva Veda, Shaunaka Shakha, Sahasrabahu purusha. So that was the genesis of the Purusha Suktam, that there are a few thousands population, the entire population is God. At a later date, there were 33 crore population on planet Earth, and that is why it is said there are 33 crore devatas in the existence. Swami has said each and every person is considered God. So it's not 33 crore deities, it is 33 crore population. So Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasra Aksha Sahasra Pat, every eye that there is in the universe is the eye of God, whether it is the eye of a mosquito or eye of a virus or eye of a human being. Every head is God's head. Every hand is God's hand. Every foot is God's foot. Everything that there is nothing but God, nothing but God, nothing but God. That is the essence of Sahasra Shirsha Purushaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sabhumim Vishvato Vrutva Atyatishthad Dashangulam. It's beyond the reach of the 10 senses. Dashangulam means 10 angulas, but 10 angulas represent the Panch Karmendriya and the Panch Jnanendriya, not physical fingers. So they are beyond the reach of mind and senses. Then cosmology is revealed, that Tripadasya Tripad Asya Amrutan Divi Padosya Iha Abhavat Punaha. Only 1/4. Now this 1/4 does not mean 1/4, it could be even 1/10. Because when the population was just 6,000 on planet Earth, they did not know fractions like 1/100th and 1/160th. They knew 1/3, 1/4. That's why it is in very simple language. So 1/4 may mean only 1/100th or whatever. So out of the entire that consciousness that there was, only 1/4 was taken, and that repeatedly created so many universes, and that is creating Tripad Asya Amrutan Divi Padaha Asya Vishwabhutani Pados Yaha Abhavat Punaha Punaf Punaha. So again and again the universe is created by only a small fraction of the Param Purusha. The entire existence that there is, a very small portion is creating this entire universe. And today you know with cosmology what is the entire universe. It is beyond comprehension. Swami has said it is beyond imagination. So what is the Purusha about? If this unimaginably vast universe is just 1/4, taking the literal meaning of the Purusha Suktam, then where are the 3/4? We cannot even think of it. So Purusha Suktam, in a sense, is complete, tending towards Advaita Upasana, Virata Upasana, and Virata Upasana ultimately will take you to Advaita, because Virata was the first being, the very first being that had consciousness. It had sentience and it had the feeling that I am a living person, and it contained the entire universe, and then it exploded, and by its explosion it gave itself its identity. How many of us are willing to explode right now so that we will give birth to 100 children? Means all of us give birth to children in natural fashion, which does not involve killing ourselves. No. How many of us today are willing to kill ourselves in order to beget children? Not even single one. So this Virat Purusha, he killed himself. And then this he did repeatedly. That's why it is said, Yajnena Yajnam Ayajanta Devaha Tani Dharmani Prathamani Asan. That was the very first dharma, that is the very last dharma. What is that dharma? Sacrifice yourself, sacrifice yourself, sacrifice yourself, sacrifice yourself. That Virat Purusha, who knew that I am Virat, he knew that I am a separate being. He had individual identity. He knew that I am part of the Brahma Tattva. He simply exploded and gave himself his body, gave up his life. And he did it so many times that ultimately we got planets, universes, galaxies, people, earths and other places to live upon. So that is Yajnena Yajnam Ayajanta Devaha. Yajna kiya, uske phalaswarup, uska bhi yajna kiya, whatever fruits from the organ, again yajna kiya, yajno yajnena kalpatam. Same message. Whatever you got out of yajna, you put back in the yajna. Whatever you got, and this you did number of times till the current state of universe was reached. This is the ultimate sacrifice which is taught in the Purusha Suktam, and the same words are said, na karmana na prajaya dhane na tyage naike amrutatvam anashuhu. Only with tyagam you will get amrutatvam. You can get a taste of your own amrutatvam. So tyaga, 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 tyaga is the only message of Purusha Sukta. Tani dharmani prathamani asan. And at the end of Purusha Sukta, it reveals that a person who has attained this level of Purusha Sukta, what will he attain? Namo rucha yabram haye rucham brahman janayantaha. Rucha means shine, brilliance, dazzle, aura. So to such a person who has realized the Parama Purusha as his own very self, to him I do namaskar. Ucham Brahman Janayantaha Deva Agretada Bruvanna. This was what was said, Abruvan. Yastvaivam, Yastva Evam Brahmano Vidyat, Tasya Deva Asanvashe. The very deities become at his beck and call. To such a person who is a Brahmagnani, Mitra, Varuna, Indra, they will obey you. You will give orders that make it rain here, make the crops here, all that. If you are a Brahmagnani, you will order the deities. Tasya Deva Asanvashe, Hrishchate Lakshmi Shapatnyu. Hri is modesty and Lakshmi means wealth. Will be at his two sides. Means normally the person who has lot of money and does not have modesty, even in lakh of years ago, even during Bali's time, Ravana's time, even thousands of years ago, person who had Lakshmi never had modesty. So here is a person who has both Lakshmi and Hri, modesty with him. In some versions it is Shrishchate Lakshmi Chapatnyahu. So whatever version you take, but modesty and Lakshmi are both by his side. He owns the entire resources of the whole universe. Rishchate Lakshmi Shapatmyahu Aho Ratre Parshve. Parshve means in Hindi we say karvat. You know, when you turn yourself, usna karvat badli. There is no English word for it. Side, you can say side. So Aho, day and night are his very sides. That means he can simply turn in bed and day will turn night and night into day. It means he controls time. It means he is the master of time. Normally time controls us. Time is the only visible aspect of God visible to all of us. Even if you are a Nastika, if somebody says that time is eating you every second, you will have to agree, yes, time is eating my body every second. Time is the only visible aspect of God to everyone, bar none, whether Astika or Nastika. So this time, the person who has attained Brahmagnana, Aho Ratre Parshve, then night and day are his, you know, handmaidens. They can be turned by his will. Day can be made into night and night can be made into day. That means he controls time. Aho Ratre Parshve Nakshatrani Rupam. The nakshatras are his rupam. His individual body is not his rupam. He identifies himself with the entire universe, the entire cosmos. I am the whole cosmos. Ashvinavyattam. His mouth represents the most healing quality of Ashvinas. Whatever he speaks is healing. Whatever he says to you becomes Veda mantra. We have our own Swami, who is the very example of all these qualities stated in the Purusha Suktam. Aho Ratre Parshve Nakshatrani Rupam Ashvinavyattam Ishtam Manishana. Grant us our wishes, Ishtam Amum Manishana, grant them here, now, itself. Amum Manishana, Sarvam Manishana, and grant them to everyone. So, this is the Purusha Suktam. To understand the Purusha Suktam, you have to have some knowledge of cosmology, astronomy, coupled with the Vedic background. Because it is said, no, Saptasyasan Paridhayaha. There were seven planes of thought created. Trisapta samidah krataha. Within that there were three times seven subdivisions. Devayad yajnyantan vanaha abadhanan purusham pashum. And the pashu and the purusha were tied up together. So it is like the domesticated pashu was at the mercy of man, while man was at the mercy of the pashu within. It's a subtle, very subtle thing. We are all fighting the cow and the dog and the buffalo within us. At the same time, the physical cow, dog and the buffalo are fighting us. They want to get free. That is abadhanan purusham pashum. They were tied together. So neither could free themselves of the other. That is the sadhana. The beast has to become human, and from human he has to free the beast, and then he can become purusha. So there are a lot of these subtleties in Purusha Suktam which require a lot of background. And that background you can create in yourself by doing rudram and chamakam. And after you have the background, to appreciate Purusha Suktam will be much easier. Any questions about the Purusha Suktam? Because then it's a topic which requires a whole day in itself, and I want to deal with it very briefly. So if you have specific questions about Purusha Suktam, I would like to end here. What should we do at the individual and at the level of society to preserve Veda? What should we do? So Vedam is today a patient that needs to be saved from a critical list. Swami has said that doctor is needed when the patient is on oxygen. After the patient dies, doctor is not needed. When the patient is not a patient, when he is healthy, doctor is not needed. So just now, the Vedam is on ICU, oxygen. Imagine Swami in the ICU. Swami is Vedam. Yasya nishwasitam vedaha. Swami's prana is Vedam. Even to Praveena sir, he said, no, this is my own breath. So Swami is in ICU. What can you do to save Swami? And at that time, you must have realized that all of us did lot of Maharudras, Atirudras and lot of Veda Parayanas. Swami wanted us exactly to do that. That's why he enacted the drama of being 27 days in hospital. But he is still in hospital. The Vedam is still in hospital. So what should we do? So there, the first of all, do something yourself. Charity begins at home. So if you do not have the time to chant the entire Rudram Namakam, you chant a few suktas, few lines, chant only the Gayatri, devote 5 minutes. If you can't chant, then listen to a CD or a recording of Swami chanting Gayatri. Means do something. Automatically that 5 minutes will become 50 minutes down, 10 years down the line. Guaranteed. Because that mantra has power of its own. The mantra does not rely on your will, whether I will do the mantra or not. You simply listen to 5 minutes of Swami chanting Gayatri, and I can give you in writing on stamp paper that after 10 years you will be listening to the same thing for 50 minutes or for 15 minutes or some 3 times or 4 times the time. However much involved in the world you may be, however samsarik you may be, because that is the power of the mantra. It works its magic inside you, and you have no power over it. The moment you have power over it, you are Swami. So start at your individual level. So listen to Veda audio for at least 5 minutes to 30 minutes every day. Then for those who want to concentrate on learning something, listen to the same mantras every day so that a subconscious impression is made. All of us have the experience of humming filmy songs in the bathroom, yes? Have any of us actually known the lyrics and tried to learn them, the filmy songs? No. Why are we humming them? Because you are in a good mood and those songs have entered your consciousness. It happened even during my time. There was only radio. There was no TV. And even today, I can repeat all the ad jingles of my time. You may not have heard them today, but I remember all of them. So imagine that young, impressionable mind of a 5-year-old child is so sensitive that it remembers all the ad jingles and all the songs of those films in those years. I am talking of the years, say, in the 1960s, the entire 60s. Whatever ad jingles were there and whatever songs were played on radio, I have all of them by heart, even now. So is not that the age when a child should be hearing this suktam instead of hearing ad jingles? So listen to suktam such that the children in your home also subconsciously, they can keep playing. I was never listening to the radio with concentration. The radio was playing in the background and I was doing my studies or whatever. But even today I remember all the ad jingles and all the songs. Imagine. So what would have happened if I was listening to suktam at that age? Today I would become some Mahamahopadhyay, knowing 4 Vedas. It's just a thought. So listen to the same mantras every day. They will make a subconscious impression in your mind and in the mind of your family. And at the end of a year, you will be chanting that same suktam without your having known it. The suktam will be chanting itself. You will not have to chant the suktam. That is the second stage. The third stage is that after you have learned to chant, try to teach your children at home. Try to teach some Balvikas people. See, now you are growing in your Veda sadhana. So, teach children. Teach 2 mantras, that's enough. You don't need to teach the entire Rudram. Whatever you know, you teach. Even if you know 1 mantra, it's enough. 1 mantra in a matchbox, how many matches do you need to light a fire? 1. So, at the worst comes to worst level, even 1 mantra is enough. But those of you are interested further, it itself will create its own interest. Then once you have established yourself in that particular suktam, then you make it a habit of chanting it every day, so that your personal sadhana is established and your growth is now happening regularly. After this, try to find out somebody who knows the meanings and try to find out what you are chanting. What is the meaning of the words you are chanting? After that comes the next stage. Once you know the meanings, try to implement those meanings in your actual life. Because Swami said, Vedasht and do next. So do. First you talk about it, you talk about Veda, you talk, chant. After chanting, do. Once you start doing what the Veda has said, you will start attracting people beyond your imagination. You will attract such people that even you will be amazed at what is happening. Means I have seen it happen actually, and it you have to know yourself for it to happen. Means I cannot describe to you how it will happen. To each and every person it will happen differently. The moment you are established in practicing even a small portion of the Veda in your actual lifestyle, by manner of speech, by manner of conduct, by manner of walking, and by manner of interacting with people, you will start attracting people on their own. People will be attracted to you for no reason. Even in a bus, if you are traveling, no, your neighbor will strike a conversation with you which is actually adhyatmic. Because normally in buses and trains, you talk stock market, business, and you know such topics. Nobody speaks adhyatmic. But people will try to talk adhyatmic with you and for no reason. Even they don't know why they started the subject. That is the power of Vedam. Invisibly it will attract people into your mindset. Tanmaya manas shiva sankalpa mastu. Then comes the next stage. After teaching, if you have got a set of disciples, then you send them for regular Veda Parayana to schools and to institutions, so that that effect of chorus chanting, all of you know that 1% chanting versus 100% chanting, the difference is very, very geometrically different. It's not 1 into 100, it is 1 raised to 100. It's so powerful. Very powerful. So once you have a group of chanters, then ensure that you do samuhika chanting, sangathana, and you chant together and see the effect it has. After that, suppose you grow in life and you are financially well off, then one of the Veda Pathshalas which are struggling for finances, you sponsor a Veda student as if he is your own child. They require barely 3000 rupees a month for some clothes and some notebooks. The rest, the food and all, is taken care of by the Pathshala. The point of making him your adopted son or daughter is that he is in the Veda Pathshala because his parents cannot afford to feed him. If the parents would have afforded to feed him, he would have become an engineer or a doctor. That is a fact of today's life. So if a parent cannot afford to feed him, he goes to a Veda Pathshala because the food is free. And such a person does not require your notebook or pencils. He requires your care and your attention. So by you being the foster father, you ensure that he grows and meshes with society in a positive fashion and does not become another Karmakandi Pandit running after Yajamanas and running after money. He becomes a wholesome individual and he is taken care of by society, primarily by you and by your other friends. So that will ensure that he does not become a greedy Brahmana, which is today the most end result of most Pathshalas. They only run out of money, and wherever there is a yajna, they will run after money and dakshina, because they are coming from poor families, so they don't know anything else, and you cannot fault them because society has ignored them and they have no other choice. Where will they go? Everybody is running after money, they are also running after money. And if at the end of all this you are so powerful, you can entirely establish a Veda Pathshala on your own. This is what you can do at the individual level. Now, what can we do at the societal level? So, an example is chant Veda as a group, as we do it in Sai Samitis. Second thing is, ask for Veda chanting to be done every day at school assemblies. I have taught in the Sringeri Math School, which is a CBSE run school in Kerala. Today the assembly is chanting three suktams every day for the past 2 years. I am teaching at another school in Gujarat, which is Satya Sai school. There are four or five such schools in Gujarat. After teaching there, all the children, 600 plus, are chanting two suktams every single day in the assembly. So if you happen to be in a position where you are a powerful person and your voice is heard, ask your child's school to teach Vedam chanting in the assembly or in the school. Ultimately this will have a trickle down effect. Means the more the people demand, because everywhere you not have a Satya Sai school. Satya Sai has set an example. Other schools can emulate that example. Satya Sai Hospital is an example. How many people have emulated that example? There are so many people with money, but how many are establishing a hospital which is run free? No one. But school we can establish. For example, Satya Sai charges boarding fees. So charge boarding fees and try to run the schools, or charge some minimum tuition fees, but at least insist on the principles. That is Vedam, human values. Teach them, just like Bal Vikas. So that as a society, if there are 100 of you in a particular town and all of you demand from your school, local school, that this should be taught, it will be taught. They have no choice, otherwise they will have no children coming to their school. So this is what you can do as a society. Demand in one voice. That suktam we are going to chant now is going to teach you how to demand in one voice. Then on your own, organize Veda classes for children and others in schools and outside. Now organize Veda Parayana sessions. One Mahatma had told me, tum jab puja karate ho, tum apna ullu sidha kar rahe ho. It means when you do pujas, you are doing out of swartha. You know, your finger has got broken, and to straighten your finger, you are calling a vadya to do puja. So there is no Veda seva in it at all. You are merely eating to fill your own belly. What Veda seva have you done? Nothing. If you want to do Veda seva, you call Veda students from a pathshala and make them do simple parayana, only parayana in the swasti style, which is the original Vedic style. You know, there will be eight people this side, they will say, Swastina Indro, Vruddhashravaha, Swastina Pusha, Vishwavedaha, and you see the effect. Only Parayana, make them do it only for 1 hour. invite all your brothers and sisters. Afterwards, you give them, feed them lunch. It may even cost you money, but this will help you much more than, you know, doing a puja for yourself. It will be like performing 6,000 pujas at one time, because you are actually helping Veda. Those Pathshala students will feel encouraged. You will give them some nominal dakshina, and they will feel in demand, because today a Pathshala student is not demanded by anyone. He does not feel wanted. He is ignored by society. So you are calling him. By calling him, you are making him feel wanted, feel loved. And that is the purpose. And in doing so, you are helping Veda. So call them only for Parayana, not for Puja, not for Swartha, but for Parartha, Paramartha. Then, if you are in a better position, organize Vedic Pujas. Of course, you should do Vedic Pujas. Swartha is also required in life. But now, you know Veda yourself. So at least call a Pandit who is very well qualified. This will have the trickle-down effect of Pandits being aware that these fellows are Satya Sai fellows. Udharo mantra aisa gadbad nahi chalega, you send this fellow. I have seen it happen. The moment you say Satya Sai's name, no, Pandits become chaukanna. Ne, idharo gadbad mantra nahi chalta. You have to send a proper Pandit. So consciousness is spreading among Pandits also that these fellows will not tolerate mantra hinam, matra hinam and all that. You have to be matra purnam and mantra purnam, not hinam. That is the essence. See, society is getting the effect of Satya Sai awareness. Even Pandits who otherwise don't know Satya Sai, they know ke inke yahan gadbad nahi chalega. You have to be perfect in your chanting. So that is it. Create that awareness.
So dear listeners, as Sri Mauni Vyas had elucidated, it's indeed our responsibility to keep up the Vedic culture, the Sanatana Dharma of this holy land of Bharat, which Swami had constantly been reminding us of. With this, we come to an end to this week's Vedam Tutor. Sai Ram.
A single story of His infinite glory, captured through divine discourses, music, bhajans, and through Vedas, talk shows, interviews, panel discussion and study circles, all brought to you live from the epicenter of our times, Prashanti Nilayam, India, Radio Sai Thursday Live.